Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
The wait finally ended this morning for almost 59,000 students who finally got their hands on their Leaving Cert results. Grades are broadly in line with previous years, with more students continuing to opt for higher level papers. Among the 59,000, Wexford 18-year-old Amy Richards. She was forced to sit her first exam hours after surgery for acute appendicitis. Amy's now campaigning for the government to end the unjust and archaic exams system for the Leaving Cert, saying it doesn't offer empathy for those who find themselves seriously ill. Amy's been telling me how she got on with her results, but first recalled what happened to her on the eve of June's exams.
For as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to do medicine. So all through fifth and sixth year, I'd been working so hard, studying nonstop. And then about a week before the Leaving Cert, I started to get really bad pains in my stomach. So I went to the GP and I was all put down to stress, but I had an inclination that was my appendix, but I kind of trusted what the doctor said. And then it was actually Tuesday, the day before English Paper 1, that I ended up in A&E in Wexford General Hospital. And I was under the knife then at 1 a.m. the morning of English Paper 1. I was brought back to my ward at 4 and I started English Paper 1 at 9:30.
You were brought back to your ward at 4 a.m. and yeah. The doctors and your mum had to wake you up at 7, yeah. Was it?
Yeah, I asked myself, please wake me up at 7:30. I wanted to do a little bit at 4. And sure, naturally, everybody was kind of against me sitting the exams because they didn't want me to feel like I was under pressure to do it. But I was so determined, I just couldn't bear the thoughts of repeating considering how hard I had worked. So I made the decision myself and I went ahead with the exam.
While all of your medical issues were going on, your parents contacted the State Examinations Commission, didn't they? And they asked if your exam could be deferred.
Yeah, exactly. So when we found out that I'd require surgery, my dad immediately rang the State Examinations Commission on Tuesday afternoon and he brought up the new pilot for bereaved students in July to defer. I think it's up to 3 exams, but we just wanted to defer English Paper 1. And the request was refused. So I was told that I could either sit the exam at 9:30 or I could forfeit. But that wasn't an option considering English is minimum entry requirement. So, yeah, I decided that I was just going to go ahead with it.
Tell me about your recollection of that morning when English Paper 1 arrived at your bedside.
So when I woke up, I was surprisingly really calm. Obviously, I was really drugged up because I was only out of anaesthetic for 5 hours, I think it was. So I was quite calm and I was very groggy, though. I felt extremely nauseous. That's the one thing that I really struggled with throughout all of my exams was how sick I was. I actually ended up finishing 2 out of the 3 exams I did in the hospital early to be sick. Honestly, I can't remember English Paper 1. I've said that from the start. It's all a bit of a blur. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what I wrote. So that happened. And then I sort of started to kind of come around for the next 2 exams. But they're still all a bit of a blur, to be honest.
But English Paper 1 is a big writing paper. Did you write
exactly.
An essay?
So I remember the title of my essay. It was something along the lines of a place that's shaped me as a person. So I wrote about the hospital and how I've done all my work experience there and how ironic it was as someone wanting to do medicine that I'd end up on the hospital bed. So I was really lucky with my title.
And then you had to go on the following day and sit another paper and another paper.
Yeah, exactly. They were a lot harder, I have to say. English Paper 2 was definitely the toughest exam. I was extremely nauseous. I couldn't finish the exam at all because I felt so dizzy and so sick. I ended up on the floor in my bathroom being sick and the superintendent had to go out and get my mum. So yeah, that was definitely the worst paper, having to sit for, it nearly went on for 4 hours with the added on time from the nurse's intervention. So I just simply couldn't finish the exam.
What kept you going, Amy?
To be honest, it was just like my aspiration to do medicine is just, oh, it's just unreal. Like there's nothing else that I want to do. And I was just so determined. Like, I think I could just remember all like the amount of study that I'd done over the 2 years. And I just couldn't bear the thoughts of giving up. Like that's one thing that I've always said about myself is I'm an extremely determined person. And once I set my mind to something, I don't give up easily. So yeah, I wasn't determined, I guess, throughout all my exams. I did get extremely apathetic towards the middle of the exams. I sort of gave up a little bit, but it was my mom and all my friends that just encouraged me to keep going, and I'm so happy that I did.
You must be extraordinarily determined to keep going through all of that, but you must also have felt it was very unfair to make you do that.
Yeah, like naturally I was extremely upset. Like I said in my letter to the Irish Times that I don't think I've ever cried as much as I did that Tuesday. The day before the exam, I was absolutely distraught. I just couldn't believe it. So yeah, towards the middle of the exams, I just started thinking that the whole world was against me and that this would only happen to me. And it's so unfair. But like at the end of the day, there's kids that are much sicker than I was. Like, although I was extremely ill, I acknowledge that there's so many other kids that have to go through the leaving certain other exams in extraordinary circumstances. So I was really lucky, and my situation could have been a lot worse. So I kind of, it forced me to kind of take a step back and realize like it could have been worse. So yeah, I put my mind to it and I just got on with it, I guess.
Well, Amy, after all of the impediments in your way, you can tell us now, how did you get on today?
So I managed to get 6 H1s. I got 602 points. Yeah, I was absolutely delighted. I couldn't believe it. Like, oh, it was unreal. My principal actually had to tell me what I got because I just couldn't comprehend the paper. I was just ecstatic.
That's an extraordinary result for somebody, even in the whole of their health, but for somebody coming out of an anaesthetic like you were, it's an incredible performance.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how I managed it. I guess all the hard work that I did just stayed in the back of my mind, and it just came out on the day. And maybe there's something in the anaesthetic that just gave me that little bit of extra creativity. I don't know.
I think it's the determination that's there as well, Amy. But you're not letting this go. You've now really become a bit of a campaigner
exactly.
Around this whole issue of students encountering circumstances
exactly.
Like you did, that they should be given some help. Has anybody responded to your interviews, your letter, and to your call for greater flexibility?
I've been working really hard with the Irish Second Level Students Union for our campaign. It's called #EmpathyForEmergencies. So we've been working on kind of raising the issue about medical emergencies during the exams. But unfortunately, there hasn't been really any response from anyone in the State Examinations Commission or the Minister for Education or anyone along those lines, which is quite disappointing considering how hard I've kind of worked to raise the issue. But then the support that I've gotten from everybody else, like there's so many people reaching out to me saying that they've been in such similar circumstances and just being just so supportive, and I really appreciate that. But unfortunately, no, there hasn't been really a response from any of the kind of higher people.
Amy Richards speaking to me a little earlier. Congratulations to her on those fantastic results. It's not success for everyone today. Some students will be initially disappointed with their results. The Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy says students must mind their mental health in the days ahead. Its chairperson is Ray Henry, and he's on the line. What do you, Ray, and your colleagues see among Leaving Cert students around this time of year?
With a lot of them, Mary, there is a high level of stress, and that degree of stress, to me, is not necessary. If the government listened to what we've been advocating for the last period of time, and that is counselling and psychotherapy facilities must be available for second level students. Because as Amy herself said, she's got a lot of support from people who've been through similar situations, but didn't do what Amy said and didn't get the results that Amy got. Now, I must say, on behalf of the IACP, I congratulate her, because that is a lady of very great courage and resilience, and she got those results. But there are other people who just don't get that result and suffer extreme stress and anxiety coming up to the Leaving Cert. And I think it's not necessary for a lot of students, but for to reduce that level of stress, you have to have the facilities in the school.
Do you think so? Do you think that the secondary schools need to have a counselling facility in every school?
Absolutely. They definitely do need counselling facilities.
Notice, Ray, an increased level? We've heard it about third level particularly, but is it true at second level as well? Heightened anxiety, increased levels of stress among young people?
Yes, and that's what we're hearing about all of the time. And not only do we have our parents, our students themselves taking up our facilities, but we also have parents who themselves are suffering from high levels of stress and anxiety over their pupils. And they're the ones that are trying to calm the nerves of their children, and while trying to calm the nerves of children, their own levels of anxiety build up.
Yeah.
And it is a very, very difficult situation for them.
So you have family stress going around
yes.
and around. It's the exam, I suppose, that everybody remembers, and everybody remembers the stress and anxiety they suffered. But what advice would you give to students today, and maybe their parents as well, as they try and maybe manage expectations now and maybe revise expectations as well as to what's going to come on Thursday when the CAO comes out?
Well, what they need to do, first and foremost, Mary, is to talk about it, because very often at that level, particularly males, the male students, they're not so quick to talk about the anxiety they're suffering, and yet their behaviour would indicate that there is anxiety and stress in their behaviour. Now, I'm not ruling out female students either, because there is a lot of stress and anxiety in female students. Mm. But they do need to talk about it as much as they possibly can.
Yeah.
If they can, play a low key in what they're doing, not to rush into things, which is driven by the stress and anxiety they're experiencing. Go about their normal routines as much as they possibly can, and if their parents may not be the people that they need to talk to at that time, friends, relatives, go out walking, yeah. breathing exercises.
Get it out. Talk about it as much as they possibly can. Do you ever find, Ray, or your colleagues, I wonder, that you have clients maybe who come to you decades after they've sat the Leaving Cert who carry baggage from that time?
Yes, we have, and it's only of late that they're beginning to realise, as the fallback over the years, where this level of anxiety that they have, and it goes back as far as Leaving Cert and pre-exam period.
Yeah,
and there isn't a need for that, as I said, Mary, that if they introduce the counselling into second level schools, a lot of that would be dealt with, and
it could be
much
managed
happier citizens as they grow older.
All right. Ray, thank you for joining us. Ray Henry there, chairperson of the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy.